came across a story that I want to read to you that I thought was rather interesting. During the final days at Denver's old Stapleton Airport, a crowded United flight was canceled. A single agent was rebooking a long line of inconvenienced travelers. Suddenly, an angry passenger pushed his way to the desk. He slapped his ticket down on the counter and said, "I have to be on this flight, and it has to be first class." The agent replied, "I'm sorry, sir. I'll be happy to try to help you, but I've got to help these folks first, and I'm sure we'll be able to work something out." The passenger was unimpressed. He asked loudly, so that the passengers behind him could hear, "Do you have any idea who I am?" Without hesitating, the gate agent smiled and grabbed her public address microphone and said, "May I have your attention, please?" Her voice bellowing through the terminal, "We have a passenger here at the gate who does not know who he is. If anyone can help him find his identity, please come to gate 17. With the folks behind him in line laughing hysterically, the man glared at the United agent, gritted his teeth, and swore, "You can figure that out." Without flinching, she smiled and said, "I'm sorry, sir, but you'll have to stand in line for that too." Do you ever wish you had that composure? I mean, seriously, that composure to where no matter what's going on the outside, you can keep your cool on the inside. No matter how hot the pot gets, somehow you rise above it. Why is it that's so difficult to do that? Why is it so hard sometimes to not just react back in the way that, in a sense, is on the same level as what comes at us? Why? You know, believe it or not, you are an agent of God. You've been given the abilities to actually not respond back to the world the way the world gives it to you, but to react and respond in a way that is more in line with Jesus Christ. Jesus says exactly in the gospel, you're the salt of the earth. You know, a lot of people don't understand what that means, and I really didn't. I mean, did you realize that when he said you're the salt of the earth, he was really meaning that. He says salt has a special ability to enhance sweetness in foods. Sodium ions zero in on bitter flavors and suppress them, so sweet flavors are stronger. When he said that, he wasn't kidding. Chemically, somehow, he just knew that somehow, if you're the salt of the earth, you can enhance everything around you, and you don't have to submit to the bitterness that sometimes comes at you. But how many of us have the composure to do that? Jesus also says very clearly, he says, you know what? But if salt loses its saltiness, what good is it? It can't be used for anything. It's thrown on the ground to be trod on. So how do you not lose it? Anybody got any ideas? How do you not lose it? Because I guarantee most of us lose it in one shape or form. We rationalize after we lose it, don't we? We rationalize, well, you know, I just didn't have enough sleep last night, or I'm really hungry, or, you know, or you have no idea what's going on in my life. But how do you not lose it? Jesus goes in, I believe, to give another analogy. He says, you're the light of the world. No city's built on a hill that you can't see. And you know what? When you light a lampstand, you don't put a bushel basket over it. You let it light so that everyone can see. Let your light so shine so that people see it. But then here's the kicker. But so that the glory is given to God. You know, most of us in our life, I think, you know, really think that God was created for us instead of us being created for God. I hate to put it that way, but, you know, I mean, think about it. Yeah, how many of us, what's the percentage of time that some of us, you know, I shouldn't say some of us, all of us, sort of walk around like we're the center of the universe? Now, granted, we can all point out somebody who does it worse than us. Somebody who's much more, you know, if you're nice, you say egocentric. If you're not nice, you say narcissistic. I mean, we can all point out folks like that. But when is it going to come to the time where it doesn't matter what they do, it just matters what we do? It doesn't matter what response you get, it just matters that we hold on to our own integrity. To do that means that we know who we are, that we were created for God, not God created for us. It's where all of a sudden we live in a way that really is what I would call sacramental living. Sacramental living. How do you live in a sacramental way so that you show your light? It's in the little stuff. And the Old Testament reading was clear, you know, it's feeding people, it's taking care of things, it's being nice, it's being kind, it's doing all those things when you think, well, you know what, they're having a worse day than me, so, let it go. How many times do we supposed to let it go? I think we're supposed to let it go a lot more than we do, I'll tell you that right now. Because when we don't let it go, we lose it. And we lose the saltiness, the very thing that we're created to be, to be the salt of the earth. And when we're the salt of the earth, we enhance everything around us. We change other people's lives just by being salt, just by being able to handle somebody kindly instead of maliciously, instead of being, you know, upset and angry, being cool, instead of moving from anger to contempt, where all of a sudden we don't have any dealings with them. And that's the very place that we get thrown out and trod upon because we're of no use anymore to God. You know, I remember growing up in New Jersey, and to be real honest with you, I had it. My favorite aunt and uncle were Aunt Ann and Uncle John, okay? They lived in Glenridge, New Jersey, and they had a small little beach cottage down in Midway Beach. Those of you who are from New Jersey might know Midway Beach is just south of Seaside Heights and Seaside Park before you get into Island Beach State Park. And it's this little section. I mean, Seaside Park are all these big mansions. And let me tell you something, Midway Beach is just these little shacks. No heat, no air, you know, no nothing. The outside shower's the outside shower. That's it. It was just a cottage that, you know, people in the back in the day, you'd go and you'd say it's all screens all the way around, big porch, and beds for everybody. But, you know, really no walls. You had sheets that you pulled back and forth to make rooms. Aunt Ann and Uncle John were great. Uncle John was both a fireman and a postman in Glen Ridge. You can imagine the psyche of him, can't you? And Uncle John, though, who I have to confess, drank very heavily, okay, was just an interesting guy. I'll never forget being down there, because I'd go down and visit them with my parents when I was young, but then as I got older, I got my own driver's license, I'd go down and, you know, crash on their front couch, you know, with my friends, and we'd all just pour into this little cottage, and my aunt and my uncle always entertained us. There was always enough food. There was always enough. Just go up. Go up to the beach. Go have fun. You know, it doesn't matter what time you come in. It doesn't matter. We just want you here. There was always this sense of welcome that they had. But there was something really interesting that I noticed over the years with Uncle John, and I didn't start asking about it until probably I was maybe even 20 or 21 years old, although I'd seen him do it since I was a child. It was that when food was served to everyone, Uncle John, although he was in a sense the patriarch of the household, would always eat last. He'd wait till everybody else was taken care of. He'd wait until everybody else was taken care of, and he'd let everybody else eat, and then he'd come in, and if there was food left, he ate. If there wasn't food left, he'd just say, okay, no big deal. I remember sitting with him and asking him, why do you do that? And he looked at me and he said, because I was an officer in the Marines. Now, those of you who are Marines know exactly what I'm talking about. You see, it's a tradition that many people say is the whole understanding of leadership in the Marine Corps is that that essence of you eat last. Officers in the Marine Corps eat last. We eat last. If you don't believe me, Google it. And then you can believe it or not. But the point is that there was something about that he took that upon himself, and it spoke to me for years and years, and I finally didn't, you know, just sort of take it for granted. I actually asked him. One simple little act. And here I am, 50 years later, still talking about it. You see, to me, that's sacramental living. It's not the big stuff that we do. It's the little stuff in how we live. And it's not about doing things as much as living with our own sense of integrity, the integrity that God gives us, because that's what salt really is, isn't it? It's the integrity of who we are. The sodium ions connect with the bitter flavors to produce sweetness. And there was a sweetness that came through because of that simple act. How do you keep your saltiness? Or are you just going to lose it? It's going to depend on how you react to the people that are around you. And those people that are around you, no matter what it is, it's not about you probably most of the time. It really isn't. So why do you get dragged into their drama? You were created for God. God wasn't created for you. As you come to the Eucharist this day, I pray that you don't lose it, that in a sense, you gain it. That you come to a place where you say, you know what, I got to live in a way that's different because I am different. I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm a united agent for the living God. And I'm not going to let the outside transform me. By my simple sacramental acts, I'm going to transform both myself and maybe in that action, the power of God will transform the people that are around me. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray.